Heavenly Father, on this beautiful Lord's Day, we give you thanks and praise for your love and grace. We pray now, Lord, that you would meet with us, that you'd have your way in our hearts. We pray that we might leave this place being filled to overflowing with your love and grace, that we might go out and change our world through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, "Open My Eyes That I May See."
I invite you to join with me now as we share together in the litany, "Open Our Eyes, Lord." It's in your worship folder and it's also here on the screen. Open our eyes, Lord,
to see the lonely child, the searching youth, the forgotten adult, the timid stranger.
Open our eyes, Lord,
to see the image of God in everyone, though often forgotten, and sometimes hidden.
Open our eyes, Lord,
to see the beauty of your creation around us and the potential for healing within us.
Open our ears, Lord,
to hear the cry of those who are hungry, homeless, hurting, helpless, and hopeless.
Open our ears, Lord,
to hear the voices, the songs, and the sounds of nature all around us.
Open our hearts, Lord,
to embrace with unconditional love all of God's rainbow-colored family, and to respect all of God's creatures and all of God's creation.
Open our hearts, Lord.
May our hearts be a channel through which your love and grace can flow to the last, the least, and the lost.
Open our lips, Lord,
to speak kindness and comfort, to tell the good news of Jesus Christ, and to praise our Creator. May the words of our mouths, the thoughts of our minds, and the intentions of our hearts be such that they always give glory and praise to you.
And all God's children said,
amen
and amen.
Was in the beginning, is now, and
may be seated. At this time, I have a very special privilege. It's always exciting to see new people want to become a part of the family of God through a particular church, and we have that opportunity this morning. I would like to ask for Kevin and Teresa Murphy to come forward, if they would, please. And any of you all that want to come up here and stand with them as their brothers and sisters, you're invited to come also. We're not in this thing alone. It is a family endeavor. All right, this is exciting. And after the service, I want for Kevin and Teresa to stand with us at the back door so you all can greet them too. Just fair warning, some of these people like to hug. Okay? All right. Okay, I have some questions that I need to ask the two of you. Now, Kevin is coming to us from a Methodist church in West Virginia, and that's okay. Technically, he's coming in by transfer, but Teresa is coming in on profession of faith. So I told them, rather than to single one of them out, I'm going to ask both of them the questions. Okay? Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? If so, answer, I do. All of these are I do until we get to the last one, okay? just so you know. Do you believe in God the Father?
I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you receive and profess the Christian faith that's contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament?
I do.
Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments, and to walk in the same all the days of your life as a faithful member of Christ's holy church?
I do.
Okay, now this one is I will, okay? Will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
I will.
Okay. Now, brothers and sisters, I commend to your love and care Kevin and Teresa Murphy, whom we this day receive into membership of the Rockwood United Methodist Church. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Congregation, if you would stand, here is your part. We rejoice to recognize you as members of Christ's Holy Church and to bid you welcome into the fellowship of Rockwood United Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that, surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Now may I extend to you the right hand of Christian fellowship and welcome you into membership of Rockwood United Methodist Church. Kevin and Teresa, our newest family members, folks. Great. Okay. You may be seated. Thank you. You caught that, didn't you, Charlie? As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, first of all, a joy. Wanda is now home. Yes. She's adapting fairly well. The last few days she's had good days, and that's good. But now she will need our prayers, and you may want to check with Tim or somebody to see if they could use a casserole or a big box of fried chicken or a big bowl of banana pudding or... Okay, here he is talking about food just before lunchtime again. All right, but we want to be able to minister to them any way that we can while they are there. Also, it's been quite a week for many of us. Some of you have already shared with me. I called a friend of ours yesterday who's done a lot of work for us on our property, and I asked him for the name of a man who had delivered some dirt there before, and he said, oh, he passed away, and he's not that old. And then while I was talking to him, he shared with me that he was at Children's Hospital. His grandson, Peyton Riddle, was 3 pounds when he was born. When he got up to 4 pounds, they let him go home, and then he got an infection. So he's back in the hospital, and I told him that we would be praying for little Peyton. Also yesterday, I called a friend of mine, Gene Turner, and I. We made over 100 trips to either Corbin or Oneida to pick up free stuff to be able to give out. And he now has stomach cancer. And he says that he's not going to go through the chemo or the radiation. He's been there and done that, and he's just going to allow God to do what God will do through this situation. But I told Gene that we would put him on our prayer list, and also that we would be praying for him and for his family. So do keep him in your prayers as well. Other joys and concerns.
And he is a wonderful person. Kathy, could you tell me more about him?
David is a minister, had been in the ministry for 44 years, was born with cerebral palsy. He wrote a book, The Boy Born Dead. And they thought he, of course, was dead, but he after 18 minutes. And then he started breathing, so this left him with cerebral palsy. But he went into the ministry. Are you familiar with him?
No, I'm not.
Anyway, he spoke at the Scarborough Church in Harriman, and a movie will be coming out about his life in December called The Boy Born Dead. And he's a very, very wonderful inspiration. Travis Run, he's spoken in 7,200 churches.
Wow.
When they told him he would never be able to speak or never be able to preach. And the preacher told him at his church, if he's able to preach, he'd eat crow. And he said, that preacher's been eating crow for 44 years.
Okay.
Wonderful inspiration. If you hear about it, then that's who it is.
Thank you. Okay.
Pastor, I would like for us to remember especially Nancy Cox from our choir. Nancy's daughter, if you don't know, has ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. She is having a very difficult day today, and Nancy didn't feel like that she could leave her. So I'd just like to ask you all to remember her daughter Mindy and Nancy, because she knows that there's no hope. She knows that she is going to be dying. Nancy lost her husband exactly the same way. So I just would like for you to pray for her and her strength to get through this.
Thank you.
And I had another friend in South Carolina that's daughter was killed in a traffic. Well, she was killed when a deer was hit by another car and it flew into the window and hit and killed her. So I'd like for you to remember that family as well.
Thank you.
And I have another. Check some of them out. You got some of the people who go to Geneva, Underwood, that lady. And I had got a text from her yesterday, and she said her grandson had been shot in the head and been killed.
Thank you. And I don't think Terry would object either if we prayed for the Roan County Schools. Or the Roan County School. Or whatever's going to happen. It's been interesting being in Blount County and seeing Roan County on the news almost every day this week. Between some of their principals and some of their teachers, or some of their lack of principals, or whatever it is. Yeah. But anyway, do pray for all of our schools everywhere, but especially for Roan County as they're going through this time of possible transition. Any others? As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how we give you thanks and praise. for your love, for your mercy, for your forgiveness. We realize, Lord, it's not because of who we are. Because sometimes all of us can be kind of ornery and cantankerous. Sometimes, Lord, we're not very lovable. But remind us that your love is never-ending and is unconditional. Help us that we might not only accept your love in our hearts and lives, but that we might also share it. There are so many today that need to know that somebody does love and care for them. Remind us, Lord, each one of us, if no one else had needed salvation, you would have still sent your Son to live and die and rise again just for one. But your word tells us that you did it for whosoever, for all of us. We pray that you would remind us that those that we read about in the paper and those that we see on the news are our brothers and sisters. We pray that you would remind us that we have an opportunity and an obligation to share your wonderful love and grace with all of them. We pray today that you would be with all of our leaders. We realize that these are unsettled times in our nation and in our world. We pray that you would remind us that we have a solid rock on which we can stand. Remind us, Lord, that your love and grace are still sufficient. Remind us that if we voted for the leaders, we have an obligation to pray for them. If we didn't vote for them, we have an obligation to pray for them. It's not a matter of don't blame me, I voted for somebody else. It's a matter of let's pray for all of our leaders that they might do what God would have them to do. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for our men and women who were willing to put their lives on the line to stand up for freedom and for those who are being oppressed. Be with our troops around the globe and watch over them and keep them safe. Be with their families, Lord. Comfort and strengthen them. May they feel your presence and your power. We pray that you'd be with all of these who are going through hospitalizations, through procedures, through times of doubt and uncertainty. These who are battling cancer. Be with these, Lord, who are doing research trying to find cures for these diseases. Share your wisdom and your grace with them. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for Rockwood United Methodist Church, for those who have been so faithful down through the years, that we might come to this time and place where we're gathered here today to worship and praise you. Show us more ways, Lord, to reach out and share your love. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your blessings, for all of your wonderful gifts to us. We pray now that you'd bless these, our gifts to you. We pray that you'd bless the giver, bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Standing as we sing Others.
Even when
remain standing, if you would, please, for the reading of the gospel. One day, as the crowds were gathering, Jesus went up to the mountainside with his disciples and sat down to teach them. This is what he taught them. God blesses those who realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is given to them. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are gentle and lowly, for the whole earth will belong to them. God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for they will receive it in full. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. In the message, it says you're blessed when your inside world, your mind and heart, put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Reaching out to you.
We continue today with our sermon series from the Sermon on the Mount, that section that we call the Beatitudes. A couple more weeks and we'll be done with this series and we'll see how the Lord leads from there. The Beatitudes give you and me a proper perspective. First of all, on our attitude about ourselves. And that's a biggie. We're poor in spirit because we realize our need for God. This is the opposite of the spirit of the world with its self-praise and self-assertion. This is our acknowledging who and whose we are as God's creation and part of God's kingdom. Also, it gives us a proper perspective on our attitude about our sins. Verses 4 through 6 say, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are gentle and lowly, for the whole earth will belong to them. God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for they will receive it in full. Because sin separates you and me from God, it's a reason for grief and mourning on our part. The gentleness and lowliness in verse 5, or the meekness in the King James Version, does not indicate weakness, okay? The Bible tells us that both Moses and Jesus were meek, but they certainly were not weak. The word used for meek was the same word that the Greeks used to describe a horse that had been broken. It wasn't a weak horse, but it was now a horse whose power was under control. We are now submissive to the will of God, and we are under God's control. It also adjusts our attitude toward God. Verses 7 through 9. God blesses those who are merciful. They'll be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure. They will see God. God blesses those who work for peace. They'll be called the children of God. When we experience God's mercy and we invite Jesus Christ into our hearts, we then have hearts and lives that are made pure through the blood of Christ, and we have a deep, settled peace. We'll be talking about that in one of the future sermons. We're sent out to share God's mercy with others. We keep our hearts so pure that we can commune with God now and be in God's presence throughout eternity. We become peacemakers in a troubled world. And then finally, it gives us a proper perspective on our attitude toward the world and others. When we seek to share God's love, mercy, and grace and peace with the world, we also realize that as children of God and as a blood-washed church of Jesus Christ, we are different. We're set apart. We have God's call and claim on our lives. On the one hand, we're sent out in the world to be witnesses. On the other hand, we're called out of the world to be a separate people of God. We are to be in the world, but not to have the world in us. Today, we're going to look at verse 8. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Do you remember Clayton Moore? Maybe you don't recognize the name as much as you do the character that he played. He was one of the first good guys on television to wear a mask. And at the end of each episode, somebody would say, "Who was that masked man?" Now you know we're talking about the Lone Ranger. All too often, many of us are inclined to wear masks also. And there are usually three reasons why we do that, day by day as we go through life. Maybe we wear a mask so we can pretend to be someone we're not. Maybe we wear a mask to disguise who we really are. Sometimes we wear a mask to separate us from everyone else. Doesn't matter whether you call them masks or costumes or disguises. Some people wear them every day. Some people are disguised as one person when they're out with their friends and coworkers, and then there's somebody different when they come to church. We put on our church face. Jesus encountered this with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They wore a mask of outward purity and seemed to say, "Look at how good we are. Aren't you impressed? See how I keep the law? I'm better than you are." Jesus was aware of the fact that they were seeking to keep the letter of the law, but they were ignoring the spirit of the law and the fact that the main message there was that of love and mercy. He was so disgusted with their masquerade that there in Matthew 23:27, he said they looked like fancy caskets on the outside, but on the inside they were full of dead people's bones. Now, I don't know that Jesus ever cussed, but that was as close as he probably came to it. To tell the Sadducees and the Pharisees that they looked like a beautiful ornate casket, well, that's all right. But then to reveal the fact that really on the inside they were full of all kinds of filth and unclean stuff, that probably didn't set too well with them. What he was saying was, don't be fake, don't be artificial, take off your mask, be genuine, be honest, be real in your heart. David's prayer should be ours. Create in me a pure heart, O God. In just a little while, our closing hymn, we'll be singing, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today." Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." If we are pure in heart, one, we are sincere. We're absolutely pure in our desire to serve and love God. We're authentic. We're single-minded. It's almost lunchtime. In our devotion to God and our relationship with other people. If we're pure in heart, we are not two-faced. We do not put on a facade. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they are sincere. Gary Smalley, best-selling author and speaker, shares an interesting illustration. In this illustration, he opens up a violin case, and he pulls out a violin that's obviously old and obviously in need of repair. Looks like a piece of junk that would either be thrown out or given to Goodwill or put in the parsonage. We don't have a parsonage, so I thought I was safe there, okay? It's happened. Okay? But then he shows the people this old guitar that doesn't have much going for it. On the inside, there is a label with the date 1722 and the name of the maker of that guitar, Stradivarius. It's worth $1 million. He then goes on to say that each one of us should write Stradivarius on the foreheads of our spouses and children and grandchildren and friends and neighbors, everyone we meet. Jesus would tell us to honor them, value them, esteem them, appreciate them, and love them. They are priceless. And we forget that very often. Not only are we sincere, but we have the innocence and honesty of children. Now, a lot of church folk need to be reminded that there's a difference between being childlike and being childish. You got it, didn't you? Okay. Yes. Jesus said, unless we become like children, we're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. a school teacher, compiled this list of comments from test papers and essays that had been submitted to students over the years of all age and grade levels. As she noted, it's truly astonishing what our young scholars can create under the pressure of time and grades. Here's some of the things that these children put on their papers. H2O is hot water, and CO2 is cold water. When you smell an odorless gas, it's probably carbon monoxide. Water is composed of two gins, oxygen and hydrogen. Oxygen is pure gin, and hydrogen is gin and water. Three kinds of blood vessels are arteries, veins, and caterpillars. Blood flows up one leg and down the other. Respiration is composed of two acts, inspiration and expectoration. Dew is formed on the leaves when the sun shines down on them and makes them perspire. A fossil is an extinct animal. The older it is, the more extinct it is. That gets scary for some of us, doesn't it? Germinate means to become a naturalized German. A magnet is something you find crawling over a dead animal. A momentum is what you give a person when they're going away. Rhubarb is a kind of celery that is bloodshot. Vacuum is a large empty space where the Pope lives. You know, in Rome, the city of Rome, there is, you got it, okay, I just checking. Before giving a blood transfusion, find out if the blood is affirmative or negative. To remove dust from the eyes, pull the eyelid down over the nose. For a nosebleed, put the nose much lower than the body until the heart stops. For a head cold, use an agonizer to spray your nose until it drops in your throat. To keep milk from turning sour, keep it in the cow. Another teacher wrote down some traits of childlikeness. They included perfect trust, wide-eyed wonder, eager expectancy, and lack of pretense. If we are pure in heart, we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love others, the pure in heart know how to love. And if we are pure in heart, thirdly, we have a right relationship with God. One of the best ways to keep a right relationship with God is to keep ourselves, our eyes, our minds, our hearts, focused on God and on the things of God. Not on other people, not on Washington, D.C., not on our coworkers or other students, or even our preacher, as exemplary as he is. That ain't the way to do it. Two boys were out walking in the snow with their dad one day, and the dad told them, he said, "I want to see which one of you boys can walk the straightest line." He said, "I'm going to walk around this great big field in front of us here, and I'm going to stand at the far side of it, and I want you boys to get about 20 or 30 feet apart and then come to me. The one that walks the straightest line, I'm going to give you a dollar." That was back when a dollar was real money, okay? And the boys were excited about it, so the dad walked all the way around the big field. He says, "Okay, come on." Now, as they walked, one of the boys kept checking his steps to make sure that he was going in a straight line, and kept looking at his brother to see where he was and whatnot. The other brother kept his eyes focused on his dad and went straight to him. Now, There's a life lesson there for us. What is it we really want to get out of life? Augustine said, God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. You know, somebody might say, well, I don't believe in God. That doesn't change the facts. I may not believe in gravity, but if I get out here on the roof of the church and take one step too many, whether I believe in it or not is going to be irrelevant and immaterial. You may not believe in the speed limit, but if you break it, you're going to pay the consequences. You may not believe in taxes, but guess what? When the IRS sends you a letter, they're going to say, we just wanted to check to see if you believed in us or not. No. The answer here is to allow God to so infill us and indwell us that we can't look at anything else. When I was in high school, I read Thomas B. Costain's famous novel, The Silver Chalice. In this story, the main character's name is Basil. When he first saw the cup from which Jesus drank at the Last Supper, it looked like a piece of junk. During the course of the story, Basil became a Christian. He invited Jesus Christ into his heart and life. He was transformed. Then he discovered when he looked at that same chalice, it was suddenly beautiful with the light of heaven radiating from it. When he looked at that cup, he was able to see God's unconditional love. He was able to see the love that Christ showed on Calvary's cross. He was able to see the cleansing power of the blood of Christ as it has transformed his life. Before, he'd been blind to all this. The cup hadn't changed, but God had changed him. His heart was cleansed, his spiritual eyes were open. How different our outlooks and attitudes could be if we could keep our focus on Jesus Christ. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I'd like for us to sing a chorus. You remember which one it is, don't you? Yes. You know the chorus. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, at the beginning I should have just had us sing that, and then we could have gone home, because that says everything you need to know. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Get to looking at Jesus, and all of a sudden all this stuff on TV doesn't seem to matter as much. Get to looking at Jesus, and the bottom line in your bank account isn't nearly as important as it was. Keep your eyes upon Jesus and all of these things that are going on in your family. Now, do y'all have any stuff going on in your family? Maybe not. Okay, but a lot of families do. All of a sudden, it's not nearly as important. Now, yes, it does touch your heart, and it is something you want to work on, that sort of thing, but all of a sudden, it puts it in perspective. Let's sing it one more time. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things Our Heavenly Father, we pray now that you would help us, that we might focus our eyes, our minds, our hearts on you, first and foremost. And then it's going to affect every area of our life, how we relate to others, how we look at things, how we look at this world and this life. Realizing that it's not even a drop in the bucket compared to the eternity you've got prepared for us. Get our eyes off everything else and get them on Jesus. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing Cleanse Me. This place, allowing God to purify you inside and out, to fill you to overflowing with his love and grace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.